Well, here we are in, I'll turn this down a bit, in Colossians chapter 1. The last time we were together in chapter 1, we saw that we could go deeper with God, and that was what the message was. We saw the Apostle Paul as he wrote to the saints, giving thanks for them, praying for them, and he was praying for certain things. He was praying because of the hope that was laid up for them. He was praying that there would be fruit from their, there was fruit from their ministry, but his desire was that, they would be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. His desire was that they would know God, walk with God, and experience God in their lives. Walking worthy of the Lord, all pleasing, being filled with the knowledge of his will, spiritual understanding, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, with all patience and long suffering, with joyfulness. There is so much that Paul was praying for the saints of God, that we would experience these very things. It wasn't just written for Colossians, it was written for you and for me, that we might know, that we might go deeper with God. Don't stay on the fringes. Seek the Lord. Get to know him. Get to discover how wonderful it is to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we could experience these very realities in our lives. So these are the things that God, that the Lord looks for and wants in our lives. He wants us to be filled with his will. He wants us to be filled with wisdom, that is, applying it, to have a spiritual understanding of things. When God opens your eyes, when you're first saved, you see the whole world in a different light. Your mind does a 360, or a 180, I should say. It does a 180. You begin to look at the world differently than you did before. You look at people differently. You look at yourself differently. You look at God differently. And that's just the beginning of that. That's just the eye-opener. That's the start of this wonderful journey of seeing things the way God, the way they really are, of being set free by the truth. And that is what Paul's praying for them here. He praises them up for where they are, but then he says, now I want you to go deeper. There's more in God for you. That's my prayer for you. We are not meant to be stagnant. We are meant to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And so the first part of this here is that whole concept of going deeper with God. It's what God has done so that we can go deeper with him. But then we look at what it is that God has done to bring us into this place. And that's the next section. The next section after this is not what he has done, but who he is. And so we see who we are. We see where God wants to take us. We see what God has done to bring us there. And then we discover, who is this wonderful God that is able to do all of that? So tonight we're going to look at this here statement that's given here in Colossians 1:12. As we look to grow in God, we are meant to be a people of thanksgiving, a people who are constantly giving thanks. In everything give thanks, the Bible says. But there's a specific thing that he says here, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. This is what God has done. He has qualified you. I know we've seen this term before, but if you want to join the Olympics, you can't just decide, Bert, I'm going on the luge in the next Olympics. So when they start the Olympics, I'm going to show up with my helmet, say, let me on that thing. They aren't going to let you on. Yeah, probably. Is that right? Yeah. You can't just decide you're going to be there. In order to get to the Olympics, what do you need to do? You have to qualify. And in order to qualify, boy, I tell you, you've got to be able to meet a certain standard, don't you? And the standard is very high. There's no higher standards to be able to meet in order to get in, to be able to participate in the Olympics. And in order to be in God's kingdom, you have to qualify. And the standard is very high. It is so high, no one can attain it. It is an unreachable goal in ourselves, because the standard is nothing less than perfection. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, Jesus said. Be holy, for I am holy, Peter writes. Where does that leave us then? It causes the whole earth to be disqualified. We are disqualified for heaven. The entire human race is disqualified for heaven. But what do we find here? He has qualified us. He has made us fit. He has given us the right to enter into God's heaven. He has qualified us to be partakers. That is what God has done. Oh, friends, the foundations of God, what He has laid for us. There is no point in us even considering going deeper with God if He had not qualified us. No wonder Paul says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. You've been qualified. How? We know that it was only through the precious blood of Christ, only in what He has done. He has qualified us. And I want you to see that. If you're going to join the Olympics, then you have to qualify yourself. You have to meet that standard. People have tried to do it in other ways, by doping, right? That is not how you get qualified, the Olympics. It's all your effort. It's all your putting it out there. But in this passage, it doesn't say you need to qualify yourself. It says He has qualified us. Lay hold of that. Rejoice in that. Give thanks to God for this. This is something that every day we ought to be a people. We're saying, thank you, Lord, that you qualified me to be a participator, to experience the inheritance, to belong to God, to receive what you have for me. He has qualified us. It's a beautiful statement that gives us here, that gives us a foundation to stand on. Because if I had to qualify myself, I could be disqualified, right? First of all, I could never attain enough to be qualified, but even if I could, how long could I hold on to that qualification? Not very long. Wouldn't take long before I would be disqualified. But my qualifications to be in God's heaven, the list of qualifications have all been met by Jesus Christ. He has fulfilled every obligation for each one of us so that we are fit for heaven. Imagine, He has qualified you. Oh, I'm so grateful that we can look away and beyond ourselves into the work of God and discover that He has done it, and He has done it well. In Mark chapter, I think it's 7 that we were in, the statement was made about Jesus Christ. He has done all things well. And He has done this well. He has qualified you. But what has He qualified us for? It says here to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. An inheritance is something that's given when somebody dies. And so God has, in a sense, what He has done, He has released this inheritance. Now that inheritance is not just something you get when you die. It's something that you receive now. We are partakers. We are partakers. To be a partaker, it means that you are taking it in. You're experiencing it. You're involved in it. You're not just going to be a partaker of heaven. You're already a partaker of the things of God. You have entered into the kingdom of God already. You are experiencing, you are partaking of the blessings of the kingdom. You are partaking of the inheritance that is yours. You've received an inheritance. You can get an inheritance and not do anything with it. But you want to be partaker of that inheritance. Not just a receiver, but a partaker. Someone who takes advantage of the inheritance that you were given. I mean, supposing you needed a new house, your house was falling down around you, or you needed to get major repairs done, and somebody comes along and says, well, your great uncle so-and-so died and left you an inheritance. And you said, oh, that's nice to know, but you kept living in the conditions you were in. You wouldn't be a partaker of it. It would be yours, but you wouldn't be involved in it. But God wants us to partake of that which he has given us. He wants us to lay hold of it. So you take the inheritance, you go and you get the materials and you fix your house or whatever it is that you need. And what the Lord has for us, all friends, what the Lord has for you, not just pie in the sky when you die, but what the Lord has for you right now. The joy that he brings right now. The peace that comes right now. The power to overcome sin in your life right now. To live in the fullness of the Spirit of God right now. It's real. He's real. You are already a partaker. The inheritance is yours. Lay hold of it. Live in it. Oh, revel in it and give God praise. When you are partaking of this inheritance, when you are living in the fullness of it, somebody won't have to come along and pound on you to give thanks to God for it. It will be the natural, supernatural response to all that you have in God. All the joy that we have. The things that we could look forward to in our lives that we think will bring that deep satisfaction. We get a little joy every once in a while from things that we have in our lives. And thank God for those joys. Thank God for the wonderful joy of love between a husband and a wife, or the joy of going out lobster fishing on a beautiful, sunny, hot day, which there hasn't been too many of those, right? All those, there's a thousand joys that we can experience in this life, and they do bring us joy. The joy of a newborn child, or the joy of a young girl that's your daughter or granddaughter, or there's so many joys that God has given us to experience, but there's a wealth of joy to be discovered in the kingdom of God. It isn't just an obscure thing. It is, oh God, I'm your child, and I am loved by you today, and I can walk with you and experience you. I can open up the scriptures and hear from God. God's speaking. Even tonight, right here, now, the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. And he's speaking to us that he's lavishing his love on you. He's lavishing his grace on you. That you're very special in his eyes. And that you are loved, loved, loved by God. It thrills my soul when Heather tells me that she loves me. It doesn't matter how many times I've heard it before. I like to hear it again. Don't you? To hear that somebody loves you. I love it. But God is saying to you 1,000 times in 1,000 ways, every day, I love you. I love you. My creation was for you. All the beauty you see is for you. I love you. He didn't make the glory of the stars and all the glory of creation that's all around you. He didn't make it for the animals to experience and talk to one another about, did you see that sunset the other night? They're not there. They don't see any of that. It was made for you. It was lavished upon you. All that he has given you, the Bible says, richly to enjoy. And that, friends, is only a glimpse of all the storehouse of God that he has. You're a partaker of an inheritance that we have no idea how deep it is and nor how wide it is, how awesome it is, how deeper, much deeper you can go in God, what there is to pursue of him. There is no bottom to this, friends. No end to it. It's not like, okay, that's it. It's kind of like, you know, you buy something that's new and it's exciting, and after a while, you know, you don't think about it anymore. You're bored with it. That's not what it is to be a Christian. There is no place of boredom for those who are going deeper with God. Instead, we find there's more and more and more in the presence of the Lord. A partaker of an inheritance that has been released to us through Jesus Christ in his death and his resurrection, he has poured out. He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men, it tells us in the book of Romans. Praise God. It's an inheritance of the saints, it says. You know, in the book of Ephesians, it speaks about the inheritance of the saints. And this inheritance is all the fullness of God, but there's another inheritance that we have that he is just a bonus that he's thrown in. You know what it is? What's that? You and I, one another. That's part of this wonderful inheritance that he's given us. God's passion for heaven is not that there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in you, but the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all the redeemed of God together for all eternity. When you really love someone, you want to spend time with them. This morning, as Heather was going off to Halifax again, because she went last weekend, I was like, oh, baby, I'm crying. I don't want you to go, but I know you have to. But I didn't. Why? Because I like spending time with her. I could be with her 24/7. I don't get bored. I don't say, oh, Heather, go away for a while. I've had enough of you. It must be. It must be true love, right? Praise God for true love. It's sweet, right? That's the kind of love relationship that God has with us. And it's also the kind of relationship we have with one another, so that I delight to see you because you're part of my inheritance. You are. It tells us that all things are yours in Christ. All things are yours. You're mine and I'm yours. You own me and I own you. That's how deep this goes, this partakers of an inheritance. We're not the lone rangers. We're not the ones that are off by ourselves, me and God, and you, this person and God, that person and God. But we are meant to be together, to be family, and to enjoy the tastes of heaven below. This is what God wants us to know. He wants us to know the real joys of heaven being lived out here and now. There is no problem beginning to give thanks. Like the Apostle Paul said in Philippians as he was writing to them, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Do I think of you guys? I look at your faces and I think of you. Gary and Louise, when they're in away, and you folks here throughout the week, I thank God upon every remembrance of you. I think about you. I pray for you. I give thanks to God for you. Strap around my ears. My ear must be shrinking or something because this thing has been bothering me. It doesn't stay on anymore. So what can I do? I need to open my eyes. I need to see these things and live in them. It is a tragedy when Christians have their eyes closed to their inheritance and they're grumbling, complaining, and you know, feeling like life is a bummer. It's no good. It's, you know, and all the while it's just lavished upon you, ready for you to become a partaker of in a glorious way. Then he says a partaker of the inheritance of the saints. So it's not, like I said, one individual, but all of us in the light. That's what he says, in the light. Why does he say that? Yeah, because now we can see. Now our eyes are opened. Darkness and light are often mentioned in the Bible, aren't they? In the terms of walking in the dark. Jesus said, if any man walks in the dark, he stumbles because he doesn't know where he's going. He doesn't know where he's going. That's the world. They don't know where they're going. They're just like sheep without a shepherd. They're scattered. They're chasing after the dream, or whatever they think that is. They're chasing the ace. You go down to, I went to the co-op today. I stopped in. I don't know if I bothered to stop in to get a little something. And I pulled into the co-op there, and everybody's there writing in every corner of the whole store, right? Because they're buying Chase the Ace tickets, and they're signing all the tickets up. So I said to the teller, I said, it must be a writing class on today. Everybody's learning how to write. It must be, what are they learning, to sign their name? Is that what they're doing? Of course, she burst into laughing. She said, why? Because they're there. They have a hope. They have a hope that they're going to win something. My friends, if you know what you already have, it's already been won, and was won by Jesus Christ at the cross. The inheritance that you have is so rich compared to what they're looking for that it's paltry. It doesn't matter. It's insignificant. 675,000 or whatever it is, it is insignificant. It's chump change compared to what God has for you. It really is. Would you be giving thanks? I tell you, when you know what you have, you'll be giving thanks. That's okay. I'll get it eventually. You'll be giving thanks for the rest of your life for all that God has for you in Christ and for eternity. And you'll never exhaust it. You are the richest people on the planet right here, right now. You're the richest people. It doesn't matter how much wealth you have. I was in the city dump in Guatemala, and a woman living in a house of garbage came out of her hut made of garbage bags for walls, bags of garbage, and a piece of tin on her roof. That woman had more joy than most people that I've met here. She was a vibrant Christian who loved God and walked with Him. Beautiful to see. It spoke to me. In the midst of deep poverty, there was great joy. I tell you, in the midst of great wealth, there is great sorrow. How many kids in Toronto, lying on the street, have come out of homes where they have absolutely everything, and they won't go back to it? They would sooner freeze on the streets of Toronto than to go back into those homes. Or taking their lives, yes. In absolute despair. Absolutely. So give thanks. Give thanks the inheritance you have. An inheritance that has been won, that you've become a partaker of, because of Jesus Christ and what He has done. He's qualified you for all of this. Don't miss the real thing. And it is tragic at times that Christians have missed and are missing the real thing. Why? Because the Christianity can be really shallow. It's not about a relationship with God. It's about, you know, trying to do the best you can, or it's about just winning a ticket to get into heaven someday and missing the real joy, the real wealth that is yours in Jesus Christ. And so it goes on from there, being an inheritor of the saints in the light. You've come into the light. You've come into all that you can see. You can say, once I was blind, but now I can see. The Pharisees came to a blind man in John chapter 9, and they said, come on, give God the glory. We know this man is a sinner. And the guy said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I can tell you, once I was blind, but now I can see. I know, I can see now. I could never see before. He was blind from birth, and suddenly he could see. And nobody could take that away from him. No, I guess not. Once I was blind, but now I can see. Open my eyes further. Open our eyes tonight, O God. Don't let us live on the edges of your kingdom, but let us walk in the light. Let us live in the light. Let us, O Savior, Son of God, see that you are that very light of the world. Fix our eyes upon Jesus, O Lord. Cause us to look full in your wonderful face. And it is true that the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Giving thanks to the Father, O God, we ought to be a people giving thanks every moment for the wonder of what it is to be a Christian, to be qualified, to be a partaker of this inheritance. Because He has done something. Because it has been an act of God that has caused this to happen. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. He has delivered us. He has taken you out of the power of darkness. And the word here, and conveyed, translated, it means He has moved you, literally moved you from one place to the other. You're not in the same place anymore. You might be on the same planet. You might have been in Dingwall when it happened, and you're still in Dingwall, but no, you've moved a long way from Dingwall. You've been conveyed from this kingdom of darkness, from being in the dark, and you've been brought into the light. It is something that God has done. You didn't get yourself from darkness to light. Nobody can. We need the power of God. And this is exactly what it says. He's the one who qualifies us. He's the one who delivers us. He's the one who conveys us. That means he's the one who literally moves you from this place over to there. He carries you out of the kingdom of darkness. He rescues you. In the Gospel of Matthew, it's Jesus using an illustration, spoke about the strong man. And when a strong man has his house secure, nobody can rob it. Unless somebody stronger can come along, take the strong man, bind him up, then he can rob his house. Well, the devil's the strong man. And the devil has had his house filled with people like us. But Jesus Christ has come, and he's bound the strong man. He is the stronger one. And as a result of him binding the strong man, he robs his house. He robs people out from under the devil's kingdom. And the devil can rage and snarl and do all that he wants to try to keep you in the kingdom of darkness. But when Jesus lays a hold of your life, he takes you into the kingdom of God, and the devil cannot stop him. He cannot. He cannot. You see, our salvation is that secure because it is not you that got yourself into this kingdom, nor can you get yourself out of it. I was talking to someone this week who was having a few struggles. And what this person said, he said, once you're in, you're in. He's like, God is like a hound. He won't leave you alone. He chases you down. He said, there's no getting away from, what's that? Yeah, the hound of heaven, yeah. There's no getting away from him. You try to run from God, man, you think he can run faster than you? Yeah. If you're truly his, he will never let you go. Sometimes you can wander a long ways around, but by goodness, when you're in his hand, you know that statement that Jesus said, I love it. He says, nobody can pluck them out of my hand. They can never perish. Nobody can take them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Who's going to do this? How can you slip and slide in those hands? Absolutely. But can you fall out of his hands? No, you cannot. You cannot, because he's done it. He said, I don't lose my sheep. That's what he said. I don't lose my sheep. Praise God. Isn't it wonderful your salvation hinges on him and not on you? Because often we think, well, if I don't keep up the performance, I ain't going to make it. That's not salvation. That's self-effort. Salvation is God's work from beginning to end. He who has begun a good work will complete it until the day of Christ. That's what he says. Praise the Lord. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. He has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. He's taken out of the darkness, but he's brought us into this incredible relationship. Now, what comes to mind often is, well, I know somebody who's walked with God, and now they're not walking with God, so what about them? Are they still in the kingdom of God? Here's two things about it. One, the Lord knows them that are his. Some were not his from the beginning, and so there's no correction in their lives. Others are astray and under the conviction and under the discipline of God. And he will discipline them, and he will convict them, and he will bring them home. He won't lose any of them. If they're truly his, he will never lose them. That's the truth of the matter. From our side of the equation, it's difficult sometimes because we don't know. Are they truly his or not? Only God knows that. Apostle Paul wrote about some people who had departed from him, had turned to the way of the world, one who was actually opposing him. And he said, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands secure. The Lord knows them that are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from sin. So sometimes there are evidences involved in that. And there's times when I've had to tearfully challenge people who I love. You need to make sure. You need to check your foundations if you're going to continue on in sin, and especially if there's no conviction about it in your life. There's something really radically wrong there. But praise God, when you're truly His, He will never let you go. He will discipline you. He'll do whatever He needs to do to bring you around. He has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. It's a different expression in this passage, the Son of His love. This warmth that you see there. This Father has taken you and said, I love my Son, and I want to give you to my Son. I'm going to give you to my Son. No man can come to me, Jesus said, except to be given him from my Father. Jesus said those words. He says, I'm going to give you to my Son. I love my Son. My Son is precious to me, and I'm going to give him. This is the gift I want for him to have. Imagine, you're the gift that Jesus delights in. Delights in so much that it says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised the shame. Hebrews chapter 12. It was for you. You're the joy that was set before him. You're the prize that he was to win by going to the cross. You're the prize. Imagine that. How precious you are. How excited God is to bring you into his kingdom and show you all the glories of it. And give you the keys to all of the doors of this kingdom of God, and to relish in it and walk in it and experience him in it. Oh, let's go deeper with God. Let's go back to the first of this book and say, I want to go deeper. I want those prayers to be for me, that I would go and grow in this wisdom and spiritual understanding, that I would be strengthened with all might and power in my inner man, that I would know what it is to walk with God, because he has put me into the kingdom of the Son of his love. We are no longer in the kingdom of darkness. You are no longer under Satan's dominion. Sin no longer has the rule over you. Sometimes you sin, but he doesn't have the rule over you. Why? Because I'm a child of God. I am a child of the King. I'm in the kingdom. Oh, every day, assert these truths. Speak the truth. Speak it to yourself. Speak it to one another. We're in the kingdom of God together. We're there tonight. We're there right now. Don't be trying to strive to get into a kingdom you're already in. Start believing this is where I am, and this is who I am, and this is all of what God has for me, saying, Lord, open my eyes. Don't let me stumble around in the dark when I have the light of the world. Because in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. The clarity in the word of God concerning what God has done is always wrapped around the work of the cross, isn't it? It's always wrapped around that, because this is how I've been qualified. This is the key, the pathway into the kingdom of God. We have been redeemed. We have been bought through his blood. We have been Ownership has been stamped upon us. This morning I spoke about three things in Marguerite as I was preaching there from the book of Revelation 12, which I mentioned as well last week as we were in Revelation 12. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and because they did not love their lives to the death. We looked at the blood of the Lamb and we see the blood is a testimony of ownership. That's what it is. You've been bought with a price. The precious blood of Christ. Ownership. Owned by God. God owns you. That's exactly what it is. Yeah. Well, he already does. He owns us. It's a testimony of ownership. It's a testimony of sacrifice, of love. Because he gave his life to buy you, to own you. Praise his holy name. And so we have redemption. We've been bought through his blood. And the result of it is the forgiveness of sins. The one thing that keeps people out of heaven, as Jesus writes in John, or speaks in John 8, and says, he told the Pharisees, you will die in your sins and you cannot go where I am. That's what he told them. People who die in their sins cannot go where God is. There has to be redemption. The forgiveness of sins has to happen. The price has to be paid. But it has been. God has done everything to qualify every one of us here tonight. He doesn't have to get back on a cross and die for one more sin. It has been completely done. This, friends, Colossians 1, 12 to 14, is the work of God. It's all the work of God. What do I do with this? I believe it. I lay hold of that which I've been laid hold of. That's what the Bible actually says. Lay hold of that which God has laid hold of you for. And enjoy what Christ has done for you in his fullness. He's taken you in. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Next week, we are going to stop, not look at what he has done, but who he is. And that takes us deeper. Father, thank you for the word of God tonight. Blessed be your name. Thank you for the joy it is to know you. Take us deeper, O Lord. Open our eyes as we go through this book to see the wonder of salvation and the wonder of our Savior.